Good morning. I'll give people a little time to know that I started a video. Good morning, good morning. Hey y'all. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I popped on because I kind of felt compelled to. With everything that's going on in the world, our city, and probably our families, not probably, our families and ourselves right now. If you've been with me over the years, then you will definitely know that I did radio about from 2013 to 2017. And I'm just kind of being compelled to go back in that direction. The Lord was like, you know, maybe do a YouTube channel or something. So I wanted to kind of pop on here and let y'all know that I will be coming on more regularly doing a podcast sort of thing called Faith in Politics. Because I talk about all the stuff nobody else wants to talk about, in my opinion. Nobody wants to talk about religion. And nobody wants to talk about politics. But if you read your Bibles, you know, I am Christian. I walk with the Lord. The Lord is all up in government throughout all of that. And when you're called to do something, I don't believe it's something that you should just sit on the sidelines. And right now, the Lord is calling for us to speak up. He's been doing this for a while. If you've been following me, I've kind of been saying it for the past 2 years. My spiritual journey started actually from birth because I was born a prophet. It's not something you choose. If it was something you choose, I'd probably run away, but it is what it is. But I was kind of a prophetess found me in 2013. So it's been about 10 years that I've been on my spiritual journey actively. And it's funny because people just see certain things. Hey, good morning. How are you? They see certain things. And they just think it's brand new. I'm like, if you've been around me, if you know me, you know, none of this is brand new. I've been talking about the Lord for years, especially for people around me. When I was working up in City Hall, I went and prayed for everybody. I prayed in my office. I had all that, you know, my director and I of comms would pray all the time. So this is nothing new for me or people who know me or people who have been around me. And it's funny because, you know, some people only know me from the recall. But if you followed me before that, you know, I came on again and I said, oh, y'all, I'm coming on to be obedient. And I was probably on for about maybe 3 weeks. And I started doing testimonies and the words that the Lord gave me to, you know, to send forth and, you know, kind of walking in my prophetic journey. And it was difficult. Like, who wants to go out there and say, the Lord told me this. Hey, y'all, watch out. But the Lord has kind of, not kind of, he has encouraged me strongly to kind of get back on and do it again. Because all of the prophecies that I've been saying for the past 2 years are happening right now. And so it's like, number one, kind of blowing my mind, not really because I walk with the Lord, so I see it all the time. But it's nice for the confirmation to happen and for other people to actually see it. So if you go back for the past 2 years, you can read everything I've been saying about repent, fast, pray, repent, fast, pray. Y'all, the Lord's not playing. We got to pick a team. And just with everything that's been going on in New Orleans, like yesterday with the fog and, you know, the amount of murders and deaths and things like that, it's not a coincidence. The Lord is not playing with us and he's calling us to walk our walks. So I'm here to walk my walk. I'm here to encourage you to walk your walk. And that means speaking up in your spheres of influence. That means doing what you're called to do. It means not being scared to put yourself out there, because if you walk with the Lord, he's going to have you back. He's not going to put us to shame. So it's time for us to do what we need to do and be who God called us to be. And that is warriors. I mean, that's the funny thing, because we are the army of the Lord. And so I just kind of wanted to go over the what the Lord has given me for the past couple days. There's so much. I really encourage you to kind of go back into the last couple weeks and really read what I've been putting out there. I honestly prefer not to be like in front of the camera, which is why I just put the prophecies and the words that the Lord's given me. I just post them and the God's like, no, go say it. say it. You know, it's a voice activated season. And so we need to speak exactly what the Lord has given us, as well as we defeat the enemy by the blood and by the word of our testimony. And so I'm here to share my testimony and my life. If you follow me on WBOK for those years, you know, I literally told my whole life story on air, the good, the bad, the ugly. And it's okay, because what I did by sharing my testimony and sharing my stories, I was able to break shame. So at this point in my life, you can't shame me about anything because I've already told it. Like literally everything from marriage, divorce, raising a son. You know, my son is now a sophomore in college, and it's nothing by the grace of God. Short story there. I had an ectopic pregnancy in 2002. And by the time I got to the hospital, I was bleeding out, and I had a half an hour to live, long story short. And so the enemy was trying to get me then. And if I was not saved, then my son would never be here. And quick testimony is that they told me I may never be able to have children because I don't have a right side. The baby was growing inside my right fallopian tube. So when it burst, it was at a Hornets game. Y'all, it was crazy. But I was too scared to go to the hospital because I didn't want to get in trouble with my parents. Y'all, I'm not kidding. Like, I would have died because I didn't want to get in trouble with my parents. And so right now the Lord is really exposing a lot of family things and all of that. But to get back to the story and the testimony was that they told me I may never be able to have children. And so that was October 26, 2002. And October 29th, 2003, I walked out of the same hospital with a healthy baby boy. So you can't tell me what the Lord can't do, because he has a plan. And I don't care what the enemy puts up against you in your lifetime. If you were born to do something, then you're going to do it. And that just is what it is. And so that's a short testimony. I have so many because the Lord has been so good to me and my family. And I guess that kind of came up because we're coming on our birthdays. And it's funny, I had seen the number 45 all my life. And I just thought, honestly, I thought I was going to be dead at 45. Because I was like, why do I see this number all my life? But I truly believe that it is kind of a death to the old flesh. And the new me is coming out. And I believe that is for a lot of people right now. We are walking into our purpose. I'm kind of want to shorten a lot of what the Lord has given me in these past 2 years to kind of just give you a little bit of it. There's a changing of the guard right now. Kevin's on here, and shout out to you because you said something about the gatekeepers are going. I know Kevin walks in the prophetic too. And so, you know, touch not, thine anointed is a very real thing. And so when you play with God's people, I don't have to do anything, nor do I wish anything bad on you, because he's going to come around and circle the block. So that's for everyone. And with that being said, I know a lot of you who did not know me before may know me from the recall. And I will tell you, I didn't do the recall because I just thought it was a great idea. I did the recall because the Lord told me to do the recall. As the story goes, I had was back in New Orleans. We had gotten displaced due to Hurricane Ida. And my son graduated on a Friday, and we moved back on Saturday. So I've always been a New Orleanian. I will always be a New Orleanian. I love New Orleans. I don't always like New Orleans, but I love New Orleans. New Orleans, you know, is in a struggle right now, politically, religiously. Our leaders on multiple levels aren't doing right by us. And it's time for us to speak up in our spheres of influences and to do the work that the Lord has called us to do. And so I'm going to do my piece. Now, going back to the changing of the guard, you know, when that happens, there are certain people who like to pass the baton and certain people who don't. And so that's what you're seeing a lot of now. There is a change of the guard happening. Well, actually, it already happened. If y'all who are in the Bible, y'all remember David and Saul, right? You know, David was appointed as the next king, but he was being trained, and he was not sitting in the position of king. There was somebody else there. There was Saul. But guess what? The people begged for Saul, right? And the Lord's like, oh, I'm gonna give you exactly what you asked for. So that's kind of the situation that New Orleans is in right now, to be perfectly honest. You know, I don't mince words. I used to be like, oh, but the Holy, I'm not apologizing for the Holy Spirit or what the Holy Spirit tells me. We have a Saul situation, and that's what's leading our government on multiple levels. I'm not just naming one person. I am it's really across the board. And so they may be sitting in those positions of power, but the Davids are rising up. And we are here to do what we need to do. And it's funny because I posted this the other day. And so I want to share it with you. It says, some of you would have told David to pray for Goliath and not cause a scene. If God calls me as a slay giants, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And so that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I hope that's exactly what you're going to do when the Lord calls you to go slay your giants, because that's what the time is now. It's the slaying of giant season. And so people may think it's judgment or, oh, you know, that person, I don't want to hurt them, this, that, and the other. You got to do what the Lord says do. People are like, oh, you're not supposed to judge people. That's not what the Lord said. The Lord said, judge righteously. Judge righteously, especially if you're a Christian and you're on that walk. If you see a Christian who's about to like walk in traffic, and I'm just saying that for Christians because that's who, you know, I'm speaking to. I'm not speaking to anybody outside the faith because I'm not here to judge you. You know, the Lord's going to come and get you when it's your time. But if you're in the faith and you're walking it out and you're about to like fall off a cliff, we're supposed to say, hey, you're falling off a cliff. Hey, come back over here. You know, get on the team. You know, there's in God's will and out of God's will. And if you choose to be out of God's will, you can't be mad when stuff happens to you. This is not our world. This is the world of the enemy. We are not supposed to be of this world. And so there's so many things that, you know, that people haven't really been able to connect to. And honestly, it's because our fivefold, our apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers aren't in their walk and aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. We aren't unified. So many people are worried about building up their church and making sure that they have monetary gain and doing all these things for flash, and they're becoming the idol, and their followers are, you know, will go to death behind them. I'm like, you go to death behind your bishop or your pastor, but what about going to blows for Jesus? Some people won't even say the word. And I will tell you that, you know, no, watch those people who say God all the time. Okay, well, a lot of people call gods. They are little g gods. Which God are you talking about? Because I'm talking about the Lord, the Lord of Lords, the only one in my clarity of understanding. This walk with Jesus is not for the faint of heart, but it is definitely worth it. I'm here to save souls. I'm not really here for your feelings. I love everybody, and I want you to be saved. And everybody is at a different point, and that's what I don't judge. I don't judge what point of the journey you're on. As long as you're on it, the Holy Spirit has you. It's not for me to control you. If you are around or dealing with people who are controlling you, and that's what a lot of people are dealing with their families right now, they are... they're being exposed. It's exposure season. I've been saying that for the last 2 years, but it's funny because it's finally happening, and it's happening like on a level where people can see it. And so the recall, people are like, it didn't work. Yes, it did. It worked in the way that the Lord wanted it to work, because there's more exposure that has been coming out than we could have even imagined. To be perfectly honest, I didn't know that all of this stuff was happening. A lot of it is like, psh, but it's not surprising me. But we needed this exposure. New Orleans needed this shaking. If you go back, I've been saying it for a couple years, reckoning comes before reset. So yes, New Orleans is going to see a revival. We're going to see a reset. We're going to have new leaders. And I just ask everyone to open their spiritual eyes. You know, we do not fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities, strongholds, you know, people and principalities in high places, all that stuff. And so we need to pray. We need to get on the wall. We need to get back in our Bibles and know what the word says. So many people say what the Bible says, but when you start reading it for yourself, you're like, that's not in there. Or, and there's a lot of stuff in there that we did not know. And I can say that for myself, because yes, I've been on this walk since about 2013. Actively, so about past 10 years. But in 2021, I got delivered from the spirit of Jezebel. And let me tell you, that's a principality. And it is no joke and is not fun. And I just have to be honest, it's in my family. And so that's what it was for me. You know, I was under that oppression. And the city of New Orleans is under that same oppressive nature. It's like a narcissistic. They will never say that they are sorry. They try to control and manipulate and will maneuver to do so. And so we see a lot of that in our politicians. So look with your spiritual eyes and start working on your heart. And that's what I suggest to you, as well as your religious leaders, because Jesus didn't come for religion. That's a lot of the vision. The Lord came for a relationship with you and me. And when I started building my relationship with the Lord, my spiritual gifts started going next level. And the Lord has released, you know, his spiritual gifts upon the earth. You know, it says your sons and daughters will prophesy. Well, guess what? That's exactly what's been happening. You see these revivals happening at these colleges throughout the earth. And I believe New Orleans can have it too, but we need to repent. We need to do a different walk for those who are Christian. And we have the power. That's the enemy has given us the okie doke, and we have forgotten our authority. Y'all, we have authority. We win. Like, that's the part. We win. And so when you understand your authority and you really walk with it, things change. Like, when you go in places, the atmosphere must change. And so just to give you a quick story for people who don't know how, you know, I got into my assignment at the City of New Orleans, because that was an assignment, to be perfectly honest. I was on the radio at WBOK. Loved it. Never wanted to leave. I was like, I just want to be over here. I just want to talk to people all day long, because I could just talk about God and politics all day long and just like open people's eyes. And so that's what I want to do. And so the Lord took me off the radio. The radio station kind of went through bankruptcy, and they went through a new management. People were buying them out. And during that time, I went back to my own business. Well, I had my own business, Carter Business Development. I do business development and outreach and things of that such. So while I was in that time, I had gotten really, my social media skills had really blossomed and developed to the point where people in the city had noticed. So I wanted to kind of stay in that realm. And when we had the new mayor, I was like, oh, I can do business development and I can help small businesses. Y'all, I just love small businesses. I just want everybody to make a come up. But anyway, because we really need to rebuild our middle class. Like, that is a whole issue, like on multiple levels. But that's a whole nother thing. I'm going back to the story. So by the word of my testimony. So I went in to interview for a small business job in the City of New Orleans. I want to do small business. And 5 minutes before I walked in there, I'm not kidding, I had studied for 2 days and I was like all excited. And I was like sitting there waiting. It was at Xavier University for everybody who had to go there and interview. I sat there and I was wearing a green suit, y'all. I was like, I'm going to get this job. Went in and somebody came out and they were like, they're going to ask you to be the social media manager for the City of New Orleans. I was like, what? Why? And true story, I was upset. I wasn't happy about it because I thought it was a rejection, to be perfectly honest, because social media did not exist. Nobody took it seriously. Actually, the City of New Orleans did not even have social media at all. Like the city, like City of NOLA, I created that because it didn't exist. Like on any platform, it didn't exist, which sounds crazy now, but it's the truth. And so they asked me and I was like, yes. And I was like, ugh. So it's funny because the first day where like you go in, we all met in council chambers and everybody goes upstairs to meet their counterpart, right? To like learn what to do. Well, I didn't even have a counterpart. So I'm like, I literally had to create it from nothing because it didn't exist. So what's funny is I look back at that because the Lord has always put me in positions to build something from nothing. Like the radio show, I actually got the radio show kind of the same way. I was on radio with somebody else, their situation didn't work. And on a Friday, they asked me if I wanted to start my own show on Monday. I was like, what? I said yes. And I was like, what did I say yes to? So I literally built the radio show from zero to nothing and ended up being the number one show on WBOK. So I say all that to say is you never know where the Lord is going to place you or what he's going to call you to do, because I sure didn't know I was going to do the recall. True story. I'll give you a testimony to that. My son was going away to college and that was a Saturday. We brought him up there. And for all of you, y'all, I could have a empty nesting. We could have those conversations too, you know, those mom conversations. But By Thursday, I was sad. Now, when I tell you I was big sad, I was like sad, like tears. Like the house is empty. There's nothing like having an empty house after you have like raised children or child. Like it's just weird. And so the house is empty by Thursday. I was like kind of in tears and I was like, Lord, what do you have me here for? Like, what am I supposed to be doing? And I kind of went to sleep teary-eyed that Thursday night, and 7:30 in the morning, the next morning, that's when I got the call about the recall. And that's the truth. So, and when I said on TV, I looked up and I was like, God, you got jokes. That's what I meant, because I was like, you've got to be kidding. And for those of you who don't know, I do come from a very political family in the city. I was born into it. Couldn't run away from it if I wanted to. My father was the first elected assessor, black assessor in the state of Louisiana. He controlled the first municipal district, which was had the most money in the state. And so he was very influential during this time. And he had been involved in politics since I was born. I mean, my uncle Jim Singleton, he won elected office in 1978. And I was born in 1978. And they won that election because they knocked on doors. They broke down the district and they knocked on doors and they related to people. And you know, that's just how I grew up in politics. And you know, to see what has been going on and to see how the last election played out honestly really hurt my heart. You know, I grew up under Bold and Soul and Progressive and Coup and like in all of these different groups, and everybody had an area of the city and everybody did what they needed to do to make sure that they got out the vote. Now, I can say because, you know, I know a lot of not that I know them, you know, I see mostly all of them as like uncles and aunts and things like that. And so they all know me as being like the little sister or whatever. And I'd always been like the quiet one over there. My sisters are 9 and 12 years older than me. So they were like, oh, that one. Well, y'all, it's always the last one. You know, it's always the last one that's unexpected. And so I slept under a lot of boardroom tables when my dad brought me places. I've marched in Martin Luther King marches all my life. Knocked on doors from the desire to uptown. And I've done these things all my life because we're supposed to be civically engaged. It's not just because, you know, I thought it was a good idea. It's because I've seen how politics and engagement really can make a difference. My father won one of his elections by less than 30 votes. Let me repeat that. My father won one of his elections by less than 30 votes. So you can't tell me that voting doesn't matter. And we really need to re-engage ourselves as well as our children. We need to, and our youth, y'all, they want something to connect to. Y'all, they just need some love. So many of us have been traumatized since Katrina. And just growing up in New Orleans in different ways, but traumatized through Katrina and then Ida and just so many things. But we can say that, but we also have to look at the spiritual side because we have been under an oppressive principalities for a minute now. And if y'all look at New Orleans and the things that we do, it's not everything that the Lord would be wanting us to do, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, I put up a post the other day about, you know, we're so worried about what offends us directly, but what is offending the Lord? You know, we need to be worried about that because, you know, our feelings, that's what the enemy plays with. And we're like, oh, I feel this way. I feel this way. What do you know? When are you standing on truth? That is what we're supposed to be doing, standing on the word. And the Lord tells us, you know, to occupy. The Lord doesn't tell us to sit down and to just always pray for it. There's times to pray and there's times to act. Well, I'm telling you, now is the time to act. We got to stop talking about it and we need to be about it. And the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He don't care about your feelings. And he's not coming with like a pitchfork and horns. He's coming as an angel of light. He's coming as your best friend. He's coming as your mom and them. He's coming as, you know, your child sometimes. He's coming and he's coming to hurt your feelings and to delay and to deny you of the promises that the Lord has for us. But I'm here to tell you that the Lord has promises for the city of New Orleans. And if we want them, we have to stand up and reach them for ourselves. And that's what it's about right now. It's about moving forward. So I really kind of wanted to share what the Lord gave me kind of in the past couple days, because and remind, you know, Christians what we're called to do. And so Matthew 10, it's crazy, not crazy, because the Holy Spirit, if you're walking with the Holy Spirit, oh, let me go back to this. Thank you, Lord. Our religious leaders, we need to start calling our religious leaders to task, because number one, we would not be seeing a lot of this stuff if the fivefold were equipping the saints. And FYI, we are the saints. We are the people. We are the saints. And so we're being equipped in our churches, in our places of worship, then we would be able to have a stronger family units. We're talking about, oh, it's the parents' fault. Oh, it's the family fault. Oh, it's this. Well, yes, it is our responsibility to engage. It is our responsibility to take care of the family. And what has the enemy tried to take away? The family. If you take away the family unit, everything else starts falling apart. So yes, we need to get back to the family, but we need to start making sure that the Lord is over our family. Like I said, there's in God's will and out. And so if you're in God's will, yes, you may get some punches, but they're not going to land that the way that they would if you're outside God's will. If you're outside God's will, you just being knocked around like a ping pong ball. And that's just the truth of it. And so people can believe or not believe, but I walk this walk. It is not a joke. I mean, to the point where, you know, things that have happened in the Bible and people like, oh, that doesn't happen today. It does happen today. I mean, like having the working with the Holy Spirit to like stop the rain or to, you know, to stop an accident or to ask your angels to help you with something. It's real and it's happening today. And you can lock in, and all you got to do is build your relationship with Jesus. It's really that simple. Plead the blood over yourself. Get that relationship, and everything's going to work out. Oh, I have a video request. So again, if y'all have questions or something or comments, please put them in there. I'm an open book, and that's what's funny. You know, people like to make their decisions or whatever, but I think it's funny because it's generally, I see your demons, or I see the spirits that you're working with, and that's what really makes people uncomfortable. So when people are uncomfortable around you, watch out, because you know what it is. Let's see. You can chat it up. I sent the request. Oh, wait, let's see. Accept. There it goes. Are you in? I'm trying to let you in. I don't know, it's not letting you in. If you have a comment, maybe you could comment. I'm trying to let you in. It's not letting you in. Accept. Well, while they're doing that, I don't know, it didn't open. I'm going to give you what the Lord gave me for the past, what is this, the past 2 days? Yeah, the past 2 days, because it's a lot right there. You know, especially with the war going on and things like that. I will say this about the war. When it first happened, I was like, let me pray and see what the Lord has to say, because I don't like to jump into anything without checking in with the Lord first, because that's how we get ourselves in trouble. We try to pick a side, and who said the Lord picked a side? Or who said the Lord, you know, what you think is what the Lord thinks. So I prayed on it for about a couple of days, and the Lord gave me Joshua 15 or 19, one of them, but it was breaking down who the Lord gave the land to. And if anyone is familiar with the tribe of Judah and what the tribe of Judah is supposed to be doing, like in the earth, just know that the land that they're fighting over is the land that the Lord gave the tribe of Judah. So that should put a lot into perspective right there. I do believe we should pray for peace in Israel. I also believe that we should be praying for all people who, you know, aren't evil, basically, you know, no matter what side they're on. We should pray for peace, and we should pray that God's will is done, because so many times in the earth, y'all, we always think God's will is done. God's will is not always done. And that's just the reality of it. People have that twisted, and you need to get it untwisted, because a lot of times the Lord's will does not get done because we don't do it. He calls us to do things. And so if you don't get up and do it, it doesn't get done. And then you get what you get, and then you got to live with it. And so that's a lot of kind of what we're dealing with right now. We're kind of dealing with what we got, but he's going through exposure to show us what it is, because all things work together for our good. So it may not, you know, be in that moment, but he's going to come back and circle it around. So that's a lot of what's going on right now. It's circling around, and exposure is happening. So don't be so quick to jump in and judge a situation without checking in with the Lord first. That is my two cents. Do I think I know everything? Absolutely not. Somebody who thinks that they know everything and can stand on 10 toes down, you should check their spirit because none of us know everything. We're not here for that. The only person who knows everything is the Lord. So I check in with the Lord on everything. Let me see if I can put you in again. I'm trying to let you in, except is it working? Don't know why it won't let me, but I will. Maybe if you can put your comment in there, I can respond to it. Oh, I'm trying. But 2 days ago, the Lord gave me this, and I posted. I said Christians should read up and remember what we're called to do. And so I say, but everyone, and this is Matthew 10:33 through 36. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. So, people don't like to read these parts of the Bible, and or we're not getting a lot of these words or enough of these words in our churches or places of worship, because then we would look around and realize that y'all, Jesus is flipping tables for us. So the enemy, in my not in my opinion, what the Lord has shown me, the enemy has been wreaking havoc on us and kind of having his way, and we've just kind of allowed it to happen because we didn't know our authority. Well, the Lord is reminding us of our authority, and we need to walk in it, and we need to do something and be about our Father's business. So when I go on to explain that Deuteronomy 12, 2 and 3, the Lord told us to ruthlessly demolish all the sacred shrines where the nations that you're driving out worship their gods, little g. Wherever you find them, on hills and mountains or in groves of green, tear apart their altars, smash their flake pillars, burn their sex and religion, Asherah shrines, break up their carved gods, obliterate the names of those god sites. Did the Lord say kumbaya? Anybody think the last days were going to be kumbaya? If you did, let me just remind you that we are not here to kumbaya with a demon or the enemy or a negative spirit, or a lot of people may be uncomfortable with that type of language. I've been walking with the Lord, actively for 10 years, so I do speak a little bit more biblically. But I will say, if you don't know what you're looking for, you're looking for characteristics. So let's say characteristics of like the Jezebel spirit is a very manipulating, controlling person. They are someone who won't ever apologize, and they are someone who will do something to you and then turn around and be like, oh yeah, but I love you. That's not love. Like, what you're doing isn't love. And a lot of us have been raised in situations where we thought love was a certain thing, or it was portrayed as something, and it's not that. So and these, like I told y'all, I was delivered from it in 2021 fully, and so I had to really re or unlearn things that the Catholic Church taught me. And that's another testimony. I was raised Catholic, Catholic elementary school, Catholic high school. I did the whole thing Catholic, and the Lord touched me, and I was like I said, I started active journey in 2013, but I was saved in 2015 and got baptized. My son and I actually got baptized on the same day, so that was a blessing from the Lord. He was 12 years old. Imagine that age. If you read the Bible, it's interesting. And then just so many things along the journey, but we didn't come here to just sit on the sidelines and watch. We are here to be active participants. We are not supposed to be of this world. We are supposed to be doing things to make the world better. And so with that, I'll give you, I guess, the next two words that the Lord gave me, and then I will kind of let y'all go. So yesterday, of course, we had the fog and everything that was going on, and so I was like, oh Lord. There's so many people who talk about it. They're like, this is something different. Da, da, da. Yeah, it's something different. The Lord is trying to get our attention. Well, you had salt in the river, you have all these murders, you have I can't even go into the children. Y'all, we had three children die in the river a couple years ago. You had three children die in the in that fire, I just, it's time for us to rise up because we cannot continue to let the enemy win. So with regards to the fog, it brought me to, you know, start searching Bible verses that had fog in it. That's how the Lord works. You know, he gives you information by breadcrumbs and he's like, follow along. And that's just kind of how it works. And so he brought me to James 4:13-17. And it says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow, we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. So I say that because if you look in the Bible, like the little bold text above it, it said it's a warning about being too self-confident. And so what the Lord is trying to wake us up, and he's saying, it's not your will be done, it's mine. The Lord is like, it's my will. And we are tripping about, it's what we want. Everything is about we want. We've become very selfish. And, you know, I'm putting myself in that too, because I had to break out of that mindset of being so selfish. It's not about me. It's about us. It's about what the Lord has called us to do. It's about what he wants to do. You know, we're in this earth and people are so many people are like, well, what are we called to do? Why am I here? You're called to win the war. We know how it ends, but we still have to walk through it and get there. And so what the Lord gave me today was, and it's crazy because I was on the phone with some family members, and I have a couple of family members who are also prophetic. And so we get together frequently to kind of share what the Lord has given us so that we can, you know, pray on it, pray for the city or whatever the Lord gives us. So we both had this same word. And so that's why I'm like, oh my gosh, y'all. So I posted a couple days ago and she had it in Luke. So this is Luke 12:49-59. It's a little bit longer, but it's kind of a story. And so I really think it's impactful and it's necessary. So Luke 12:49-59 reads, I have come to set the world on fire and I wish it were already burning. I have a terrible baptism of suffering ahead of me. And this is Jesus speaking, y'all. And I am under a heavy burden until it is accomplished. Do you think I have come to bring peace on the earth? No, I have come to divide people against each other. From now on, families will be split apart. Three in favor of me and two against, or two in favor and three against. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. And mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Then Jesus turned to the crowd and said, When you see clouds beginning to form in the west, you say, here comes a shower. And you're right. When the south wind blows, you say, today will be a scorcher. And it is. You fools, you know how to interpret the weather signs of the earth and sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present times. Why can't you decide for yourselves what is right? When you are on the way to court with your accuser, try to settle the matter before you get there. He's telling us what we need to be doing. Otherwise, your accuser may drag you before the judge, who will hand you over to an officer who will throw you into prison. And if it happens, you won't be free again until you have paid the very last penny. So what the Lord is telling us is to get your mind right. Before we are dragged in front of the accuser and the judge, get your mind right. Repent. And repentance is, people think it's such a harsh word. Y'all, repentance is telling the Lord you're sorry and actively turning away from it and not doing it again. He's not saying you have to be perfect, because none of us are perfect, but he is encouraging us to focused on our walk with him and to do what is right and to get your minds right. And so I really hope, you know, this encourages y'all today. As prophets, we do come to give warnings. We come to, you know, exalt, extort, and build up the body. That's one of our things. But, you know, people don't always want to hear what the prophets have to say, because it's not always the fun stuff. It's the truth. But we have to deliver it or it's my fault and I'm not getting in trouble behind nobody. So if the Lord told me to do something, I'm going to do it. And so with that being said, the Lord has told me to, it's time to stand up. And to be perfectly honest, I had been dragging my feet because I didn't really want to go back in front of the camera. I felt like I had done enough of that in the past. What, those 7 months, that was a lot. Warfare is next level and spiritual warfare is a very real thing. And so I'm praying in here for the city, for the people on a regular. I suggest all of you do it. You know, everybody has a different walk and everyone is called to do it differently. I'm not saying you have to do it the way I do it because I do walk in the office of a prophet. So my walk is a lot different. But for everyone in the body, we have to get on the wall and whatever he is calling you to do, I encourage you to do it. That last scripture, that was Luke 12, 49 through 59. Yeah, Luke 12, 49 through 59. So the Lord's like, we have all this knowledge here on earth, right? You know, we can see all of these things. You are, you know what the weather's coming. We check the news every day to see what the weather's going to be like, but we cannot understand the times and season of the Lord. Well, it's just because we're not listening to the prophets and the fivefold. And so it trips me out because people are like, the fivefold doesn't exist. Yes, we do. They don't exist because it's a lie of the enemy. We do. And you have people in positions in clergy who don't want us to exist because we see them and we're called to give them a word too. And they don't always like to hear it. But, you know, it is what it is. And I have been called to give people and clergy words for a couple years now, at least probably since 2017 is probably when I had to give my first word to a clergy member. So the clergy in New Orleans knows exactly who I am. And it's, I don't hide from anybody, but I encourage everyone to allow the Holy Spirit back in their churches. That would be my urging to everyone because, okay, let me go back into this because this is, this is the big problem. We don't allow, not we, people who lead churches don't allow the Holy Spirit in their church to speak. And when I say that, number one, the Holy Spirit, one, but two, any prophetic voice. It doesn't have to just be a prophet. The gift of prophecy, we're all supposed to actually request it and want it from the Lord. So everybody out there who's a Christian and a believer, I encourage you to pray for the gift of prophecy. Ask the Lord to give it to you. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. You can have it too. It is not something that is supposed to be like hidden in secret societies or all this stuff. Y'all, the Lord gave us these gifts to use. And so when Jesus went back to heaven, right, he rose on and he rose on the third day, but he came back, right? And he ministered. And he said in the upper room, he said that he, when he left, he was going to leave us with the advocate, the Holy Spirit, who's supposed to teach us everything. Go in your Bible. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be teaching us. Y'all, having a title or a certificate or, you know, getting past something, that is an earthly thing. Somebody created that. The Lord didn't create that. The Lord said we are supposed to be taught by the Holy Spirit. Read your Bibles. So long story short, the Holy Spirit is supposed to be teaching us. And so if the Holy Spirit isn't allowed in the church, who's teaching us? Exactly. Scary thought. So the Holy Spirit is supposed to be in the church and the voice of the prophet or any prophetic voice, which I tell you, ask for the gift of prophecy. You will use the Holy, you'll be work, not use, working with the Holy Spirit as well. And so the Holy Spirit will give you stuff to speak and insight as to what's going on. And so if we as Christians start walking and working the gifts with the Holy Spirit, we will know what's going on in the earth. And we're not supposed to be scared. We're not supposed to be fearful. It says what, over 300 and sometimes in the Bible, the Lord says, do not fear. Do not be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of anything. We walking with the Lord. We good. That's on them. And it's a personal decision. People are like, why do all of these bad things happen in the earth? Because we have free will. You can choose to be in God's will or out. People have free will. And some people choose not to believe in the Lord. And I'm not here to argue with anybody. I think that's the funniest thing. People want to argue. I'm not arguing with you. It's actually biblical not to argue because then I make a fool out of myself. And guess what I'm not going to do? argue with you. So I like to give facts. I like to give information, and then people can make their decision for themselves. I've never been, I can't say never, but I will say I'm not that person that is going to force anything on you. Just like the recall, I gave you the information. You can do what you want to do. And that's just what it was. But I will say we need to look at our leaders, and we need to stop looking at them as idols. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because I didn't want to say that. But it's true. We're idolizing these people. You don't know what they do in their free time. I'm not just talking about one person. I'm talking about everybody. You don't know what they do in their free time. You don't know who they really are. You only see who they present themselves on social media, or for the 2 minutes on camera, or when they're out, you know, partying with you or something like that. And the crazy part is, for those years when I worked at the mayor's office, the person you talked to was me. That's what's funny about it. So the person that you grew the relationship with from 2018 to 2021 was me. The administration doesn't have Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter on their phone. So it's just funny to me. But I will say also how I left the city of New Orleans was the Lord told me to leave. I was actually on leave, and the Lord told me, he was like, by the end of the week, you're not going to be working there anymore. And I was like, what are you talking about? That is not possible. Like, how would that happen? Well, guess what? By the end of the week, the Lord, what the Lord said happened. I was in a situation, true story. And I don't know if I should get all into it, but it is what it is. And I will just say, I'm a seer. That's the type of prophet I am. And so I can see certain things. And so I saw something, in the administration that, was not of the Lord. And that's why I left. True story. I could not do that or work with, I could not do that anymore. I just, the people are too important to me, and I can't work for the enemy's camp. I'm on Team God all day long. So that just is what it is. So people can have their own little conversations or whatever, but you know, my thing is, ask me. I don't have a problem telling you anything. So if you didn't know, there, now you know. I saw stuff that wasn't of the Lord, and I don't play that. And that's just what it is. And you know, some people, you know, in their walk, and let me give you an example. Some people, like, you know, when you go into music or something, because that's a lot of what people can understand. When you go into music, you may have a walk with the Lord, and you think that you're doing all this, that, and the other, and you're presented with stuff in your walk about, oh, do this or do that, and you know it doesn't line up with your morals and your values and your faith. And so that's just what it was for me. And you know, people compromise. And so for me and my walk, I wasn't going to compromise. And so that's why I left the city of New Orleans. I wasn't compromising. So that is what it is. You know, I saw something that, I saw a principality, to be perfectly honest. And it's just not okay. And so we have those principalities of oppression over our city right now, and they're breaking off. And so that's what you see happening. You see the exposure, you see it happening. It's going to be, and that's who the Lord corrects first. If you read your Bible, the Lord corrects the leaders first, because they are responsible for his flock. So the leaders are getting corrected on multiple levels. God don't care if you're black or white. God don't care if you're male or female. God is not a respecter of person. That's in the Bible too. And so people get hung up on, it's a black woman. It's a black woman. Well, okay. Holy Spirit, I didn't know it was going to be this long, but I'm just going to give it to you. So for everyone who does read their Bible or knows this story, is about the story of Elijah, the prophet Elijah. So Jezebel wanted to kill Elijah, right? And so that's what we see, right? The Jezebel spirit, the Jezebel characteristics, you know, trying to beat up the prophets. So long story short, Elijah's like, well, let's have a battle, a test. You know, you put up your false prophets against me, and we're going to have a showdown. So if you remember that showdown, the false prophets went first, and they did all their little stuff. Nothing came down. And then Elijah went, called on the Lord. Fire came down on the altar, burned it up. He won, right? And so that's the story. So if you think about the story, the false prophets went first. Well, we're living the Bible. There's nothing new on God's green earth. So what you're seeing in the earth is the false prophets going first. And then the real prophets are rising up. That's the real prophets are coming now. So we've gotten bamboozled by a lot of false prophets and a lot of false teaching and a lot of false evangelists and a lot of false everything. And so that's what you're seeing that's happening. So you're getting a breakdown of the false people, and then the real ones are rising up. So that's the changing of the guard, and that is what's happening in New Orleans and actually all over the world. But I just had to like break it down because it's kind of a I don't want to say annoying. It's like, because you're supposed to be getting this information in your churches or from your leaders, and you're not. And I think that's the frustration from me, that we aren't getting it from our leaders and we aren't seeing it. You know, they're still talking about relationship issues. I'm like, are you serious? Like, people need their soul saved. And so that's what's happening. So I would check the people that you follow. Check even the music you listen to. Like, I'm gonna call one out. What's that? That one that it drives me mad. Not drives me mad, but that little Uzi Vert. Y'all, he's a Satanist. Like, he is. And people listening to this music about, you know, these demons and all that, like, he's telling you what he's listening to. He's telling you what his situation is. It's not a joke. People think it's not real. It's very real. There's only two teams, y'all, so pick one. And the line in the sand has been drawn, but the Lord is always patient. People are like, oh, why is the Lord always slow? He's not slow. He's just patient. Because when he drops it, there's no coming back from it. And so it's not about him like forgetting or anything like that. He's just being patient with us. And that's like the funny part for me. They're like, oh, God's not showing up. He's trying to give people more time to get on the boat. Like for Noah, he's giving more time for people to get on and to get their minds right. And so that's really what's happening. The false prophets have gone ahead, and the real ones are rising up now to overcome and overtake. And it's time to overthrow. And you don't overthrow with a hug, and you don't overthrow, you overthrow with the truth. And so we need to tell the truth, shame the devil. And so that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm called to do, is tell the truth, shame the devil. So if you've been following for more than just this past recall year, you'll know I've been talking about the Lord for years, and it's not anything new. And so the Lord is calling me to kind of do a podcast type thing. I'm going to be naming it Faith in Politics, because a lot of us have lost our faith in politics as well as our faith. So that's my little play on words, but I'm really excited about it. So it'll be more about kind of what you're seeing here. I will talk about political stuff that's going on in the world. I will be talking about faith and telling you the truth, kind of whether you like it or not, because it is what it is. And we haven't really been getting convicted. And when a lot of times when we're convicted, we run away from stuff. And it's time to run to the fire and not away from it. So I ask for your prayers on this journey, as well as your prayers for our city. And I was really inspired by Big Frida did that post yesterday with really calling New Orleans to task. And so I encourage those who have their platforms of that nature to use it. And if you're a Christian, to speak on it. Like, shout out to D1. He uses his platform, and now he's going all over the United States talking about his faith and being true to it. And that's what we're called to do. We're here to be true to it. You know, are we going to be Peter when Jesus is in there and we're called, and like, which side are you working with? Oh, no, not me. Yeah, me. I'm working with the Lord. And so that's what we're called to do. And so I'm excited about this faith in politics. I really did not kind of want to get back in front of the camera again, but it is what it is. And when you're called to do something, it's not a suggestion. It is a requirement. And so I encourage everyone who's called, who feel like the Lord has been touching them. And I know a couple of you on here who are either listening now, who listen later, really do have felt that tug and that nudge of the Holy Spirit calling you. Answer the call. And people are like, how do I answer it? Start talking to the Lord. Seriously. Be like, Lord, like the same way when the Lord called Samuel, he said, Lord, your servant, I'm here and I'm listening. It's literally what you have to say. And you will start getting little nuggets like in your mind. That's how the Lord is going to initially talk to you. And so I'm going to kind of leave you on this, because this is where a lot of people get mixed up, because they think when they think something, you're supposed to initially act on it. And that is not what's happening. In my opinion, and from firsthand experience, you hear three people in your mind. You hear the Lord, you hear yourself, and you hear the enemy, the devil. And so the gift of discernment, it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I told you, go look them up, y'all, and use them. We need to pray for the gift of discernment. And so it's just like a muscle. The more you use it, the easier it becomes. And so you'll be able to discern the voice of the Lord compared to like the voice of the enemy. The enemy really, it's those nagging thoughts of maybe something from childhood that, those thoughts that make you feel like guilty, or that you're not good enough, or that you're not worth anything. That's not the Lord. That is not the Lord. And you need to start checking those and be like, that is not who the Lord says I am. The Lord says, I am more than a conqueror. Start like, that's who you are, and stand on that. And you will be able to distinguish, who you're hearing from. And so I just encourage you to really open your mind to that, because that's where a lot of people get twisted. And they're like, all these mental health disorders and, ADHD and all this. Y'all, it's stuff talking to you. And you don't need to be talking to it or listening to it. So we need to get that straight, because, like I said, you're hearing three people in your mind: the Lord, the enemy, and yourself. And so when you can distinguish between those, we can really stand up and be warriors. And the more you get in your word, the stronger it is, and the easier it is to hear from the Lord, because you're really pushing out a lot of that nonsense and not allowing the enemy to do his work. And you're standing in your authority. And so that's what the Lord is calling us to do, is to stand in your authority. So I'm going to try to hit this again. I've tried to accept this a couple times with you. I don't know what the deal is. Do me a favor. I'm going to shut this one down in a minute. And if we want to do a joint live, I wouldn't have a problem doing that with you, and really have these conversations, because I really think it's important that we have these conversations in our community, because they're not being had. And so I'm also working with another kind of community activist, and we're gonna try to find places where we can meet up and have these type of conversations. I want to inform the residents of the city of New Orleans of how politics works and what their rights are, and who to go for what. Quick story, y'all, me and my stories, testimonies, but it's the truth. By the word of our testimonies, that's how we break through stuff. I was social media manager of the city of New Orleans, and I did not know what type of system the city of New Orleans was under. Did not understand, which is nuts. So I think it was 2019. It was like after my first year, I was allowed to like, go to conferences or something to understand stuff. And since the social media department had never existed and I'm building it, I was like, maybe I should go learn about it, right? So I went to a social media convention, and I learned all the laws and things of that nature, and that's how like all that happened. But on that journey, they asked me what type of system our city came out of. I'm like, huh? What do you mean, what kind of system? So I know if I'm working for the city of New Orleans in the mayor's office and don't know what system of government we have, then I know a lot of people don't know what type of system of government we have. So we have a mayor council system of government, and there's two types. There's a strong mayor system and a weak mayor system. We have a strong mayor system in the city of New Orleans. That's the type of government we have. And so when people understand that we have a strong mayor system, they will understand who to direct their questions to. Let me give you an example. When you, let's say people say, oh, go to your city council, and you should, because they are your advocate for your district. So you go to your city council member and you say you have an issue with your streets. And so your city council member calls the Department of Roadwork, right? They call Public Works. They call Public Works and they say, hey, my resident on ABC Street needs this. Okay, but guess who is the head of Public Works? The mayor. So you call your council member and you say, hey, I have an issue with permitting. So your council member calls the Department of Safety and Permits and try to get everything done. Guess who is over safety and permits? The mayor. You have an issue with Sewage and Water Board. You call your council member and say, hey, I have an issue with my Sewage and Water Board bill. That's a little bit different because they are an outside entity, but guess who runs Sewage and Water Board? The mayor. You have an issue with NORD. NORD Commission is a little bit outside of the official departments because it's NORD Commission, but guess who puts all the commissioners on NORD? The mayor. So everywhere that you go to find something or ask a question, the mayor basically leads every department in the city. So is this common to every parish or a municipality? No. You can have different type of systems, but the system that New Orleans has is a strong mayor system. So therefore, all roads lead back to the mayor. So if the mayor is not working with the community on any of these levels, or the council members on any of these levels, you are not going to have a great interaction as well as output. And so we can see that in our administration. For instance, 311-911. Yeah, principality is right. Look, the Holy Spirit had that come out. You're absolutely right, because it just is what it is, and I'm over walking around it, but our government is under a principality, and the person running our government, in my opinion, is not walking with the Lord the way she should be. Now, we all have, the Lord is always calling us home. He's always, asking us to be repentful. And I pray that she would, I prayed for her repentance, for her to turn back to the residents of the city of New Orleans and to love the people and to do right by the people. But she has drawn a line in the sand, and it is what it is. And the sooner that we see it and are real about it, the sooner that we can do something about it. I mean, I worked with her in that office, and people are like, oh, you work with her. How can you turn on somebody? How do you turn on anybody? I worked my behind off for this city. I was at, when Hard Rock came down, 9 days living down there, when there were the fatalities during Mardi Gras. I'm there when for 2018 till 2021, every time you got that alert in the middle of the night about something happened, notice y'all don't get that anymore. Cause that was me. I was waking up losing sleep. I didn't take any days off the entire time I was there. That's why I took a leave, because nobody was gonna care about me unless I took care of myself, and I had to take care of myself so I could take care of y'all. And the only reason, in my opinion, I was able to be social media manager is because I had a relationship with the Lord. And honestly, it prepared me for the recall, because there was so much incoming hate that came when I worked at the city. Y'all have no idea. This is funny. When there was one, I think hurricane or something that happened, and the mayor had to put out an ordinance for something. And long story short, in one of the things, it said that that she had the ability to stop the sale of alcohol or guns. But it's textbook. It's in everything. Like, you have that ability if something goes wrong. It's not something that they use. So anyway, that situation, that information went to Breitbart, and it went like all over the country. Lord have mercy. When I tell you, people were like going in for days, but like, nobody's listening to that but me. And so, and shout out to Rubia, Nola Rubia, for everybody who follows her, because I personally believe that was the most encouraging response from the residents speaking up for themselves ever. I was on the other side of it. I was the only one reading everything that was, sent to me, but it was uncomfortable. And so I can say that if you want to create change and know exactly how to do it, I can tell you who to email, how long to email. And it's not always emailing the person. You got to email the person and their staff, because the person isn't always answering those emails. And when you really hit targets of the staff, guess what? Stuff starts to change. Yeah, you didn't know about the strong mayor system. Everything leads back from the mayor. And that's what people don't understand. And so there was so much to explain during the recall, because there was so much happening. There's so much that I saw. There's so much that I knew, honestly. Y'all, working in comms, you know how information is given. And there's lots of stuff they know before you know. Lots of stuff. And there's lots of stuff they don't tell you. And so when I see these reports, or when I see, people telling resident stuff on air, doing these interviews, I'm like, you're lying. And it drives me nuts when they lie to the residents. It drives me nuts. And that's another reason I couldn't work there. I can't lie to you. I cannot lie to you. Like, I can't. I can give y'all some stuff that went down while we were there. I'm like, and I would just kind of redo the verbiage because I was in charge of social media. So I could do what I wanted with social media. So sometimes social media and like the press release were a little bit different. Well, that's because I controlled social media and I put it in a nicer way, or just kind of gave y'all the real, because give everybody the same information and let them make their own decisions. Like, all this stuff that they don't tell you is just a hot mess. And to be perfectly honest, the media is in on it too. How do I know? Because I work for communications for the city of New Orleans. If they want something out, or if they want to look good, they know certain people at certain channels and certain publications to call so they can put out fluff pieces. That's what we call them, fluff pieces, because that's all it is. And then the residents like, oh, I love them. Y'all, they do. It just because their poll numbers were going down. I'm not kidding. It really happens. How do I know? Because I watched it. I was in it. And I just can't be doing that lying anymore. It's just ridiculous. And so we need to tell the truth. The politicians need to tell the truth. Speaking of politicians, going back to that a little bit, I don't want to just get stuck on the administration, but that is a huge part of it. But there's a web across the city of New Orleans of certain people. And that's what the recall really allowed me to do, was kind of see who's on what side still and who they're working with. Because you notice a lot of politicians didn't speak out. Why? Because someone's controlling them, or they couldn't, because of purse strings, because of backroom deals, or whatever the situation is. But certain people couldn't speak up for certain reasons, or they didn't want the administration to come back on them and do anything. Well, I'm a resident, and you know what? They didn't like me, nor did lots of people. I had people trying to call me to be quiet and not say this anymore. I don't care. I've always been about the people. That is how I was raised, and I will always be about the people. When my dad was an elected official, y'all, we used to have people that would call us like 3 o'clock in the morning to, like, you know, because they didn't have like medicine. And my dad would get up and go like buy the medicine and make sure like they had food in the house and just that and the other. So that's how I grew up. Like, that's a public servant in my opinion. And it is, you shouldn't get in the situation if you're just doing it to be self-righteous. And that's what we see right now in our politics, and the Lord is over it. And so he's here to expose. And so, yeah, and I'm excited for it. So that's what's going on in the world and in our political system. The Lord is exposing, and I'm just excited, and I'm about that life. It's crazy because I didn't think I was going to come on here and say all this, but it is what it is, and it is what it is, and I just don't care. Like, I'm over it. People try to quiet you, and that's the enemy. The enemy tries to like take your voice so you feel like you don't have one. Well, I'm telling each and every one of you who's listening, we have a voice and we need to use it, whether it be on your job, in your community, in your neighborhood, or just in your family. You know, speak up and share real information. Stop going for the okie doke, do your research. And I think the first video I'm going to do for my faith and politics thing is going to be on the strong mayor system, because people don't understand that we have a strong mayor system. We have a strong mayor system. They're like, it's not the mayor's job. It is. The mayor is over every department in the city of New Orleans and most commissions. All the boards and commissions, she handpicks people to put on them. She controls every board and commission in the city of New Orleans. Did I say every? Every board and commission in the city of New Orleans. There's no board or commission where she doesn't have her hand in it. And I'm not just talking about her, I'm talking about all mayors past. And I love the people who say, well, what about the other mayors? Well, isn't that why you elected a new mayor? To do better? When you do better, I mean, when you know better, you do better. So I'm like, I'm over this, like, pointing fingers, like, because that's what the enemy wants. He wants division. And I'm not about that. We're going to deal with what we have right now, and we're going to do better because we know better. So yes, we have a strong mayor system. And when more people understand that, they will understand what's going on in our government, because you can't do anything without the mayor, without the person in that position working with people. So if the person in that position isn't working with people, nothing's going to happen. And it's crazy because I was putting the information together because I want to consolidate it so people can really kind of understand. I want to put together like a NOLA Civics 101. I'm working on that right now because people don't know. And like I said, if I worked in the city and didn't really understand the type of system we have, I know like the average citizens don't, because they like to keep us ignorant. And the reason why you didn't see a lot of political stuff during this last election is because they didn't want it. Especially now, let's go back to the last mayoral election. If there was a higher turnout, there may have been a runoff or some sort or some situation like that. That's number one. But what happened in the last mayoral election, people were like, oh, she won by so much. Well, growing up in politics, there's a lot I know. And so there's a lot of stuff that I like to share because I know it. So, because I tell the business. And so you have the information, now you do what you want to do with it. So in politics, politics is played. So like say, okay, she was coming up for re-election. So anybody who was running up against her, they would know from the talk of the town who wants to run. So either they will talk to you and stop you from running, or they'll make a deal with you, say, hey, you don't run now, you run then, and I'll support you then and turn around. So that's a deal. Or, yeah, they won't debate. Exactly. They won't debate ahead of time. Because why would you? You don't have to if you already made the deals and no one's really with a name recognition can run against you. So, or here's the best one. If you won't get out the race, what they'll do is they'll find something on like a family member. Like say you had a family member who like went to, I don't know, who went to prison, and it's like, it's not, you know, widely known. Well, they would say, oh, well, we're going to put this on blast, or we're going to put this on the news that your family member did A, B, and C. But it's not you, it's a family member. But they will still use that against you. Or if you have a family member who works for the city or one of the commissions or a business in the city of New Orleans where they have a friend that works there and can fire you, they'll say, hey, if you don't do A, B, and C or get out this race, we're going to put the pressure on your family. So what do most people do? They're going to get out the race. So that's what happened in our last race. They eliminated all of the large name politicians. And I will say that there was, I'm not going to go into like their names, but there was a very large name politician who was going to run against the mayor. And there was a deal made that they didn't do it, because they were like, if I don't run now, I'll support you later if you don't run against me now. Because, you know, I'll be, you know, out of the office. And so that was like the deal. If that's going to happen, I don't know, because a lot have happened since then. But that was a deal. And so that's why you didn't see a large name, a person run against the mayor in the last election. It was politics played, and it wasn't in the best interest of the city. And that's just real. And I tell the business because it's information and everybody should have it. And you can make your own decisions from that. I'm not saying agree with me. I'm not saying disagree with me. There's information. You can do what you like and research it. You know, that's what the Lord tells us. He tells us to test the spirits, and that's what we need to do. Test the information. Be my guest. I like to give it freely because that's what I believe that we should be doing. Information, I'm not saying. But anyway, but that's the truth, and that's what happened. So we as a community really need to educate ourselves, because they're not trying to educate us at all. Because if we are an uneducated base, then they win. And that's just how it happens. So that's what I'm going to be working on, trying to get some more information out to residents. Let me know the ways that y'all receive information the best so I can try to work those things. I was kind of maybe looking at doing, you know, a channel, a YouTube or something like that where it can stay there. And then I was trying to maybe work on like a text situation, maybe. I don't know. I'm working on like maybe constant contact, or I don't know. I'm researching it to see the best one that I like. But I was like, would people do the whole texting thing? But honestly, while I was social media manager, it was the most effective things that we have. If y'all noticed, they don't really use it anymore, but that's the difference in leadership. So it is what it is. So that's what I got. That's what I'm going to be doing. And I believe y'all deserve the truth, and I'm about to give it because I'm over being lied about. I'm over being lied about, and I'm over being lied to. And I believe each and every New Orleanian should be at that point, because we can't act like it's not happening around us, because it absolutely is. And it's just time to stand up. So that's what's going on. Oh, Riley. Oh, y'all. You know what? I've had a couple people tell me that, and I'm definitely thinking about it. So let's pray on that, because whether, you know, of course, I'd love to do the Lord's work and win, but whether or not, I think it's important to have a voice in the race that's going to tell the truth, because y'all don't get the truth.
And it's really annoying me. People like to come back around things and, oh, yes, I did this. And, you know, and they're all great in public and that's wonderful. But are you going to speak up for us when the door is closed, when it's not there? I need you to speak up. And I think this recall was probably the most vivid example of, no, they don't. Like, and I must give a shout out to JP. Is he perfect? No, no one's perfect. Am I perfect? No. But I do believe he's spoken out for the people more than anyone else has. I think we all see a definite difference between the two switches in council. And it's really funny for this. Yes, please pray for me. But I'm covered in the blood and the enemy has already tried. Let me be clear. God don't play about me and I don't play about the Lord. But it is very, I forgot what was I talking about? So it is, wait, go back to that. It is very interesting of what happens. But, oh, I was talking about JP and the council and y'all seeing how vocal the council has been recently. Well, that's because for people who don't know, when you have the council president and vice president, and that changes every other year. So you have last year or last cycle, Helena Moreno was the president. So she kind of was able to shift the focus of the council. And so this year is JP Morrell. So he is able to shift the focus of the council. So that's why you see a difference. People are like, why is JP whatever? Because he's the council president right now. So he is the voice of the council. It's his job. He's the council president. So when people understand that right now, then they'll understand better what's going on. And so I can't speak for this year because the media hasn't, talked about it. But I know as of last year and during the recall, the mayor hadn't even met with Helene Moreno or JP Morrell in over a year. Yes. So we have a strong mayor system. And the mayor hasn't met with the president or vice president of the city council in over a year. And so I'm guessing it's probably almost 2 years at this point or a year and a half, almost 2 years at this point. So what should that tell you? And we're like, why doesn't New Orleans function? Why aren't these things happening? Well, our leaders aren't working together. And so you can only do so much by yourself. And so that's why you've seen the council start kind of just moving to do it themselves. Because at some point you're like, okay, they're not going to play nice and don't want to play in the sandbox. I'm just going to do it by myself. So that's what you see that is happening. Yes, that's why nothing is happening, because they don't meet with each other. Yes, it is pure neglect and it's on purpose. So y'all are like, oh, don't be mean. She's being mean to us. Like, it's like, are you kidding? Like, you're being mean to the residents. You're so worried about nitpicky politics that you're not worried about the residents. And that's really what happened. And so it's just a trip. But I do enjoy, I will say this, and you're talking about praying for me and like, touch not thine anointed is a very real thing. And even through the recall, if you go back and you watch the council meeting with regards to removing Gregory Joseph from his position, the attorney for the city council and for the city breaks down what exactly happened. So they explain that, you know, at the beginning with the first 2 or 3 months of the recall, they didn't really take us seriously. And so they weren't worried about us. But he was like, he goes on to say, he said, but the recall was very resilient. And when he was saying, I was like, yeah, we were. So anyway, he said, and they started the mail out. Well, let me be clear. I prayed on it during the recall and I was like, Lord, if you want this to work, you have to show me how it's going to happen. Because everybody thought we had all this money. We didn't have all this money. We had Rick didn't come like on and like start really helping us financially like that until what, November? So when this started in August, so we didn't have all this money. So what they're talking about is like pure farce. Which is nuts. But anyway, so it started happening and being a little bit different at that point. And then we were able to do the mailers. And then at that point, they were like, oh man, they really have an opportunity to do this. And so what they did was absolutely 100% illegal, which is actually against the law in the state of Louisiana. So they really can press charges, because during the recall, I reached out to the state of Louisiana, the state of Louisiana about our recourse with regard to how they were attacking us. And they said, you have to go through the DA. And I'm like, Is the DA really going to do anything for us? No. So it was kind of just like a thing at that point, but it is what it is. So what happened was, because we were really getting some steam and they saw like, hey, this can really happen, that's why they put out the mailers. The mailers had never been done before. It wasn't even something that they thought of until the recall happened. And so it was there kind of like combating the situation. So the recall with the mailers, attack mailers, were absolutely illegal. And so that's why he's removed from office, because he used over $50,000 of your tax dollars to fight you. Literally, you know, we're supposed to be able to like speak, you know, free speech, and we're supposed to be able to go through the process. Well, the process was hindered because the administration intervened, which they were not supposed to do, which is absolutely illegal. So that's what, in my opinion, kind of slowed down our progression, their mailer, because they only sent the mailer, listen to this, to registered voters who had voted in the last two cycles. Now, who did we need to sign up for the recall? Registered voters. So they didn't send it to every New Orleanian. It wasn't something where they just loved you and it was education. It wasn't education. They only sent it to registered voters. So how is that education? So if you weren't a voter, they don't care about you? And if you didn't vote in the past two cycles and they don't care about you? No, they only cared about the people who could possibly sign the recall. And so they were trying to like turn the tide. And so, yeah, you didn't get one. Some people didn't get one. So if you hadn't voted in the past two cycles, or you know, were an active voter to their standards, you didn't get one. So it was funny because I got one, and I just looked in the mail and I started laughing and I was like, God don't like ugly. And look, God don't like ugly. Touch not thine anointed is a very real thing. I told you I didn't decide the recall, the Lord did. And so look what's happened. He has now lost his position. And do I feel sorry for him? Not really, because he used his privilege to attack the residents of the city of New Orleans. So that's on him. God doesn't like ugly. When you do something, you know, it comes back to bite you in the butt. So it is what it is. But I'm about the people. I'm here to tell the truth. And that's just what it's going to be. So if y'all have questions or anything about the recall or the city, what's going on, either spiritually or whatever, I'm here to answer those questions. Unfortunately, we don't have enough prophetic voices speaking up. It just is what it is. But the Lord put me in the position that I am in to help people, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to help people because that's what we're here for. It's not about us. It's not about one person. It's about unity, and I want to bring that back to New Orleans. There's been so much division, and it really kind of sucks. You know, I've grown up in this city. I love this city. You know, I raised my son here, you know, minus Katrina and Ida for those time periods. But you know, I have fond memories. You know, I remember things that happened. Like, this is something I want to bring back. Actually, when I was in the mayor's office, I tried to bring back Teen Summit, but it didn't happen. And I know a couple people were talking about it again. And I think they told me that the mayor said no. Now, why would you say no to Teen Summit? But anyway, but I don't know if y'all were raised in New Orleans, like talent shows were a huge thing for us. And so that's something I really want to encourage the city to bring back to our young people. We have so much creative talent in the city of New Orleans. Our kids do so many things, from arts to music to dance to, we have so many people creatively that have come out of the city of New Orleans that aren't appreciated here, that go around the world and they make a ridiculous amount of money. Well, we need to love on them here too. So I think we should bring back the talent shows, bring out the love and care for the kids, and just show them that we love them. Do some more Battle of the Bands. You know, we have scouts that come here for basketball and for football. You have scouts that come to see, actually not even as much for basketball. My son was a basketball player and they don't really support that as much, but football, oh, we can do football all day long. But they'll have scouts to come see that, and they come here and do all kind of stuff. But what about, you know, having scouts for band? You know, lots of kids get band scholarships, and we need to promote those things and give our children other opportunities, like trade schools. Y'all remember when the community and everybody knew the electrician, the plumber, the carpenter, or whomever, the AC guy, or whomever, the lawyer, the attorney, everybody knew their own person and stuff. Well, we need to kind of get back to some of those things where, you know, because those are great jobs, and not even jobs, businesses, more than that. And so y'all got all kind of ideas, because what happens in this region multiple times? Hurricanes, right? And so why don't we build up a base of businesses that can take care of ourselves and rebuild when those things happen? We'd be a lot further along if we had more businesses that built up carpentry and general contractors, let's just say it like that, you know, for all of those things. And if we had more businesses, and those are like your middle class to upper middle class families that can be built from those type of businesses and entrepreneurship. And we really need to be encouraging those things. There's just all kinds of things that I think that we should be focusing on and doing just more for our families and our communities, you know, really loving on our children on the front end, you know, some more preventative programs for our kids. It's just, y'all, when you really, I've been in city government, so you know, like the systems, and we don't have any systems for our kids before they hit the system. Why is all the money on the back end? That's just nuts. Like, cause we don't want them to be on the back end. We want them to be on the front end. We want to help them. So we need some more preventative programs like that. And just, really just love on the people, get back to nurturing our neighborhoods, our communities. And number one, listen, like, they don't even listen to us anymore. I went to, it was a meeting at Vote, and I'm not going to say the elected official, but they had an elected official, a state rep there. And, you know, I asked him, and I was like, hey, do you do like listening sessions or like town halls for people? And he was like, I don't have time to do that. And he got really like kind of annoyed with me, but funny, because I know who I am in the Lord. I'm like, I see your demon. But anyway, I was like, what? And so it really kind of struck me and annoyed me at the same time, because this summer I worked with this camp, Don't Stop Dreaming camp, with these young men. And oh, I loved it, y'all. I gave everybody a Bible. That was just my thing. But anyway, I went with them when they went to visit the state capitol. And when every time they talked to an elected official, their response was the same. Call my office and tell me what you need. Call my office. Call my office. Call my office. And I'm like, aren't y'all public servants? Like, why are you sitting back and expecting everybody to come to you? Everybody doesn't always have that ability or that opportunity or that time, you know, to call and wait on whatever the situation is. Like, where is the community outreach? That's what I grew up in. That's the politics I grew up in, is community outreach and empowering the people. And we just need to get back to that. People need information on a basic. And so that's what I'm going to be trying to do. Maybe some little short videos on information. And the first one, I guess, will be is, you know, what type of government we have. We have a strong mayor system. All roads lead back to the mayor. So a lot of people don't understand that, but it's the truth. That's the type of system we have, and we're not getting out of it. So we need to understand what it is so we can work it properly. So you said you need your help with an organized event for your daughter is the band director at Eisenhower. Yeah, I'd love to help anybody in the community. That's what I did when I was social media manager. If there's one thing I missed the most with working with the city, was being able to connect people with opportunities and information, because when you work in the mayor's office, people move fast. And so I think that's probably another thing that aggravates me, is because I know the ability that they have and the power that they have, literally, with like texting somebody and how fast you can get stuff done, and it's just not done. So it's either you don't want to do it or you don't think about it, and both are terrible. So we just need to do better for our people, and our people deserve better. So that's what I have going on. Some faith in politics. I want to educate the community on who to go to, what to go to, and why, and how things actually work, because we don't know and they don't tell us. And I was in city government and didn't know myself. So how can we expect y'all to know if we don't know, as well as the media doesn't tell us either? So it's a whole nother conversation. But also, we can really push our media to give us the stories that we want. And so I encourage you all to do that. And I know that's not something that you necessarily think you can do, but you absolutely can. So if there's something you want to know about, I'll just give you an example. Actually, I don't know if I should say it. Well, actually, I don't care. We knew that there was some stuff that was taking place. And so we'll say, hey, what about this? Like, we knew that the police headquarters didn't have AC in like 2 weeks. And I'm like, why don't the residents know that? That's kind of important information, right? Well, you know, we were like, hey, you should go stop by a police headquarters and go check out if they have some AC. And then we found out it wasn't just the headquarters. There were multiple stations that didn't have AC in the summer y'all. And so we're asking our police officers to wear these hot uniforms. They're already not loved on by the administration. Isn't that what they wrote in their exit interviews, that it was more leadership issues, not money? But we still worry about the money. Hey, leadership. So there's just so many things and just so much I want to share, because when I believe when you give people information, you're just on an even playing field. And that's what we need right now, going into each election cycle. I encourage you to vote in every election, not just, national elections, especially with these judges. Oh, y'all, I watched that thing about the ankle bracelet I was like, ah. So we really need to pay attention to who we vote for and get engaged, because we make a difference. I was raised in a family where politics and voting was very important. It was something that was highlighted, and I know it works because I knocked on doors with my dad and he won an election by less than 30 votes. When I say it was 28 or 29 votes, I'd have to check that. But he literally won an election off an incumbent for like a gazillion years, the Comiskey family, due to knocking on doors and getting the community to come out and vote. And so I know it can happen. I know we can make change. But let me be clear, they don't really want elected officials who are for the people. They want elected officials that they can control. True statement. So we need to pay attention to the people that who are controlled, and we need to pay attention to the people who are for the people. And we really need to support them in any way that we can. And it's not always about monetary, because money is helpful, but a vote wins elections. Like I said, those votes win elections. So it's more about sharing information. So when we do that, we can empower ourselves and be a stronger New Orleans, because that's what we need right now. After that last election cycle, it was very saddening to me. And I had to, check myself, because I hadn't been vocal. That recall was a lot. The warfare was a lot. And I needed to be the best version of myself if I wanted to be the best, to be able to offer anything to the city. So I needed to kind of deal with all of kind of that stuff and really center myself with the Lord, as well as listen to him, because I don't move when the Lord doesn't say move. And so I've been encouraged to move, and I've been encouraged to share this type of information. And so I'm going to do so. So that's what's going on with me. We're going to bring back faith in politics in the city of New Orleans. And I hope you'll join me on this journey, because I'm here to speak truth, and a lot of people don't like it, and I don't care. So that's me. Thank you all for joining in. If you want to connect, you can DM me. I'm really here for it in any kind of way that I can help. That's what we're called to do. And so if I know something or can connect you, then that's what I'm going to do. So, and if we all do that, we can create a network and just help support each other, because we're really going to need it, especially in these next couple months, because like I said, the Lord is exposing. So when you see stuff happening, don't be fearful, and don't be like, kind of like check yourself and the Lord with what's going on, and he will reveal it to you, because there's a lot that's going to pop off. Exposure is just the beginning of it. We're just getting the appetizer. Stuff that you never thought people were doing, they're doing. So that's what I got to say. So I appreciate everybody tuning in. Y'all, I really do love New Orleans, and I know that we can do this together. So y'all have a great day. Bye.